The world is consistent in that it has this life for to live. It has this life to prepare for, and that is it. But as believers, as those who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we have eternity. So what are you valuing in light of eternity? Well, that's what we talked about last week. The challenge was a matter of wholehearted discipleship, to make sure that you are living out that which you say you value, living with eternity's values in view. Value the things right now, in the here and now, that are going to stand the test of eternity. But what does that look like practically? In real life, we must make sure that we move from the ethereal to reality, from the conceptual to the concrete, from abstract to actuality and authenticity, to be living it out in our lives here even today. So when I asked you last week to think about standing before God and giving an account of your life, and think about that which God thinks is most important, what did you come up with? You know, and I got to thinking, as I encouraged you to do that, maybe you came up with a thing or two that would be good. Say, well, certainly that would stand before God and last for eternity. But I got to thinking, you know, I didn't want to leave any vagueness. I didn't want to leave you with maybe thinking that something would last that won't last, or with maybe not enough. And so I thought, hey, let's develop this a little further. What does God desire for you to value? What will truly matter when you stand before God? So I want to help you so that when you do stand before God, you not only know what to say, but your life here on this earth now will back up what you say you believed would be of value. So we're going to look at some things here that God tells us are going to be or are of value to Him. All right. So here are some things that will last into eternity. And the first one is God's Word. God's Word. You can take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 24, verse 35. If you're taking notes, you can add a couple other passages that really are what we would call parallel passages. They say the same thing. Mark 13:31, and Luke 21:33. But we're looking at Matthew 24:35. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." My words, the words of Jesus will never pass away. Another passage, we're going to be jumping around quite a bit today. Turn to 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, you can jot down verses 23 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 35. 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the fields. The grass withers and the flowers fall." Listen, I walked out the side door of our garage this morning on the way over here, and there are crocuses coming up. I couldn't believe it. Daffodils. Come, they're, you can see the sprouts. They're about that big. They're confused. And I really think that they'll probably get froze out here sometime in February. You know, winter's not over yet. And that's what this passage is saying. The flowers of the field, the grass withers, the flowers fall. But, verse 25, "the word of the Lord stands forever." Peter is quoting Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, "the word of the Lord stands forever." So God's word is of value. It's going to last on into eternity, right? Right? Right. All right. Now, if you say that, hey, I believe that, and because of that, I value the word of God, it is going to stand the test of not only time, but eternity. What difference does that make in your life right now? Right? You know, if we say we value that, then it ought to be important to us. And there ought to be some evidence that the Word of God is of value to you. Well, what are you going to do? Well, first of all, you're going to read the Bible. right? We think the Bible is important. So you're going to read the Bible. You're going to study the Bible. You're going to listen to the Bible. You're going to come to things like this. And you're going to listen to what God has to say for you. You're going to memorize it. When's the last time you memorized a verse of the Bible? You know, some of you kids, man, you guys are in the memory mode. I mean, you guys can just soak it in, and it is so awesome. I get to, at my age now, it's like it just doesn't sink in quite as fast. But when's the last time you grab the 3x5 card or on your iPhone, you put a little note and put down a verse and you start memorizing it, going over it and over and over it, so that it became a part of your life, a part of your thinking, and then you meditated upon the Word of God so as to apply the Word of God to your life, so as to live it out. You see, if God's Word's important, you're going to give attention to it. You're going to listen to it. You're going to read it, as we just said. But not only will it become important in that way, so that you read it and you listen to it and study it and memorize it and meditate on it, but it's going to become your delight. It's going to be so important to you. You're going to look forward to it. It's not going to be a chore. And I have to admit that there have been times in my walk with God that it just seemed like a chore. You know, quiet time. I go through the day and I go, oh man, I haven't even read the Bible. I'm supposed to love God, right? I mean, I'm the pastor. And I thought, man, I haven't even read a proverb. So I'll get Proverbs out and I'll read a proverb and say, oh, well, at least, you know, I read something, you know. And it's like, man, it shouldn't be such a chore. It should be my delight. In fact, jot down another verse here in Psalm 119, verses 111, 112. You say, well, how could it possibly become my delight? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to grow in love for God and His Word and look forward to what He has to say, what you have to do is you have to spend time in it. You have to give attention to it. You have to get up in the morning. You have to think, I need to get into the Word of God. Sometime throughout the day, or maybe it's at lunch. I know some people at lunch, you have lunch at work or at school, and you say, man, I just got to take a few minutes. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to memorize. You take time out because it's a value to you. It's important to you. And then the more you do that, the more you look forward to it. And if you don't do it, you miss it. It becomes your delight. Psalm 119, 111. David says, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. Isn't that awesome? My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. The Word of God is not only important, it just becomes your delight. You look forward to those times with God through His Word. So you're going to spend time with the Word, reading the Word and so on. But you know what? When it comes to the challenges of life, you're not going to look to other people or other ways in order to answer the challenges of life. Teresa recorded a Dr. Oz episode this week because it said something about spiritual answers, and they had pastors of Atlanta were going to give spiritual answers on the Dr. Oz show. I thought, oh man, this ought to be pretty cool. They were kind of unconventional pastors. They'd go out into the streets and they'd talk to people and try to encourage them and minister to people in the streets. And I'm not going to question their motives and their methods. However, I was very interested to hear what they had to say. And they talked about, they had people ask them questions about stress, about anger, about worry and fear. And here in the audience, here was an opportunity, and they would go up to those people and they would just look them right in the eye, and they'd get down, they'd talk to them, and man, you know, they just really had and Dr. Oz was like, this is really good and everything. And the thing is, they gave them some good things, and yet it was more like the power of positive thinking. And I thought, man, if they would just get to the Word of God. Take these people to the Bible and hear what God has to say for them. How much greater, how much better that would be. In fact, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't go looking for counsel from the world. Blessed is the man who does not do that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. There's going to be stability when you go to the Word of God. If you value the Word of God, you're going to look for answers in the Word of God. There's going to be stability in your life. And that's going to show that you value God in His Word. It's going to last for eternity. You ought to be living it out now. Where are you looking for answers for this life? Here's another thing that's going to last into eternity, and it's the rule and reign of Christ. You can look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and you're sitting here going, oh, hey, isn't that talking about the birth of Jesus? Yep. Talking about the birth of Jesus. And the angel comes to Mary and says, hey, you're going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be the Savior. In verse 32, the angel says to Mary, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That's something of value, isn't it? You know, you think the rule and reign of Christ is going to last forever. You say, well, wow, what does that mean for me? I mean, that sounds like something in the by and by, you know. It's going to happen later on, right? Remember when you trusted Jesus as your Savior? And someone maybe shared with you Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is Lord. That means that you turn from doing things your way, doing things that please yourself, that you turn away from that. That's called repentance. I turn away from my sin and my selfishness, and I turn to God as my Lord. What does Lord mean? That means He's your King. That means He's your boss. And that you're going to start, He has the right to tell you what to do and where to go. If you submit to Him as Lord, right? In other words, you're going to start living out the rule and reign of Christ in your life now. He's Lord. He's my boss. He's my King. It ought to be evident by the way that you live. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The point here is to allow Jesus to rule and reign in your heart in the here and now. I memorized a poem. All right, I'm going to lay it on you. All right, and I'm going to try to teach it to you. All right, here you go. There's two choices on the shelf. Can you say that with me? There's two choices on the shelf. One, two, three. There's two choices on the shelf. Here they are: pleasing God or pleasing self. All right, say it with me. There's two choices on the shelf: pleasing God or pleasing self. Pretty easy. Pretty easy to say. It's another thing to live it. But if you value the rule and reign of Christ, you're going to submit to Him and you're going to say, God, I am a vessel in your hands. And I want you to rule and reign in my life. I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. I will think what you want me to think and act the way you want me to act. That's submitting to the rule and reign of Christ. It's going to last for eternity. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. In other words, what you're going to do, James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word. All right? But be a doer of the word. In other words, put the Word of God into practice. If you're going to be living out the rule and reign of Christ, you're going to do what God wants you to do. So here's the next thing that's going to last for eternity, and that is what you do in the name of Jesus will last for eternity. Whatever you do in the name of Jesus is going to last for eternity. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Now, this is the invitation. You know, at the end of our service, we have an opportunity for you to respond. You can write out a card. If you want to come forward and pray with someone, you can come forward and pray. Jesus has given the invitation, the greatest message that was ever preached. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And every once in a while when I'm meeting with folks on a more individual basis, I'll say, you need to write down, I'd like for you to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Write down the main point. Write down the take-home thought. What is Jesus trying to say? It's just a great exercise. And what I encourage them with is in chapter 5, Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't be able to stand before God. And people were going, whoa, you got to be kidding. I mean, these were the religious rulers of the day, okay? They were like, unless your good works, whatever you do, your righteousness, if unless it exceeds that, you can't stand before God. And they're like, oh, no way. We can't do it. And then he goes on, he says, you have heard it said, don't murder. But I say unto you, don't be angry with your brother. So he's talking about the heart issues. It's like Jeremy said earlier, we can't make ourselves holy. We can't do it. We need God to make us holy. And the only way to do that is to submit to him in his lordship, his rule and reign. But when we do that, then he empowers us, enables us to live it out. And he comes here to chapter 7. He's drawn his message to a close. If he were doing it like I don't know how he did it. But it's oftentimes I get a little quieter. And I want people to really listen. And so Jesus is saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you see that? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Didn't we do all kinds of really cool things for you? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It's like, wait a minute, you can't say this and you can't do that. I don't understand. And he goes on, he says, therefore, verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. What's the rock?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus and what he said right here. And that is, hear my words, put them into practice. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What we want to do is, by the power of God and the Spirit enabling us to put his word into practice. 1 John chapter 2. Says the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So, what do you do in Jesus' name? He who does the will of God stands forever. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 John. We're going to look at a couple passages. Chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. What are you going to do in the name of Jesus that's going to last forever? 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 to 24. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Did you ever think about believing in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a command of God? When you trust Jesus as Savior, you are obeying his command to believe. He commands you to believe in the name of his Son. And to love one another as he commanded us. So you believe? The love for others doesn't matter unless, first of all, you believe on the name of His Son. And then love for others. Those who obey, verse 24, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Chapter 5. Turn to chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. 1 John 5, 3 to 5. Here is love for God. So you're going to love God, right? It's going to last forever. It's going to live for eternity. What you do in Jesus' name is going to last for eternity. I got to show love for God. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands aren't burdensome. It's not like, oh man, I can't believe I've got to be kind to somebody. Oh my goodness. No, His commands aren't burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Folks, he's talking about eternity. He's talking about that which you value. Do you value these things? I'm trying to help you with what you're going to say when you stand before God. And if you say, God, I love you. When I stand before you, I love you, God. And he'll say, okay, did you live it out in your life? Of course, he knows if you did or not, right? Did you live it out in your life? The first way to show love for God is to believe. Another way to, and then as you grow in your love for God, you're going to show the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You see, you're going to put on those qualities. You're going to put on gentleness as opposed to anger. You see, it's going to make a difference. You're going to have peace instead of turmoil in your life. You're going to have love for others. You love God, but a way to show your love for God is by your love for others. You're going to care for others. You're going to be generous to others. You're going to be kind. You're going to be gracious. You're going to be merciful. You're going to be forgiving. You're going to be willing to cooperate, not complain about people. A good verse or passage to write down is 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter, verses 4 through the beginning of verse 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. You say you love people. Are you patient? Love is kind. Have you been kind? It's not self-seeking. It's not rude. It's not proud, but it's humble. It's not easily angered. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. See, those are the things that are going to last for eternity because you do them in the name of Jesus. You do them because of Jesus and that Jesus... You're showing that Jesus makes a difference. Here's another thing that's going to last, and that is the church. You see, you're thinking through things that are going to last, things that are important. If they're important to me, to God in eternity, and they should be to me in eternity, they need to be important now. I need to believe and live out that the church will stand forever because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God's word tells us that the church is going to stand forever. Simon Peter, Jesus was asking, okay, what do people out there say? Who do they say I am? Oh, they say you're a prophet, you're a good man. You know, they're saying all these nice things about you, but Jesus says, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. You're Peter, and on this rock, not Peter, Peter's not the rock. The rock is the profession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we stand for. Our vision for our church and ministry is to show Christ the rock as indispensable to our community. You can't do without him. We want people to know that Jesus is the rock. He's the firm foundation. He's the one that gives you stability in your life. Now, if the church, if you believe that about the church, we're going to show forth that, and you believe it's going to stand before God in eternity, of course, it's going to make a difference in your life. As you show forth the value, how's that going to make a difference? First of all, you're going to be faithful. You're going to gather with God's people. And here we have a part of the family of God right here at First Baptist Church. You're going to make it a priority. You're going to say, I'm going to go to church. By that meaning, not the building, but I'm going to go meet with God's people. God's people are the church. And by the way, when you meet with God's people at church, it's not about you. Another verse you can jot down is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, don't give up meeting together like some people do. Okay? Some people aren't here today. Oh, man, I'm too tired or whatever. You know, and just it's Sunday. I forgot. You know, I'm supposed to go to church. Oh, well, maybe another day. No, don't give up meeting together like some of those people. But do it all the more because, you know, Jesus is coming. You're going to stand before him. But he tells you in those verses to spur one another on, to encourage one another to love and good deeds. So you coming to church, it's not so much about what you get out of it. But when you come to church, here's what I encourage you to do. Look for an opportunity to encourage somebody else. You know, you come to church and say, hey, you know, it's so good to see you. Thanks for coming out, man. It's an encouragement to me to have you here. Could you imagine if it was just you and me? Oh, you know, it'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? You know, just you and me. Here we are. Yeah. You know, but man, you know, there's 150 other people here. And we encourage one another. So you're going to attend faithfully. You're going to look forward to it. You're going to worship wholeheartedly. The worship service, you're not going to merely just go through the motions like, okay, you know, and sing, you know, I don't know that song, so I'm not going to sing. No, you're going to worship wholeheartedly. You're going to put your heart into it. If it's a new song, you're going to say, well, wait, I got to listen to those words, man. Wow. It just opens my heart to God. You're going to participate. You're not going to spectate, you see. It's going to be important to you. You know, worship wholeheartedly. You're going to support the church faithfully through your faithful giving. You know, the church should never have problems meeting budget. It should never have trouble meeting budget. Everybody doing their part to help this church accomplish what it plans to do through our budget. Give faithfully and sacrificially, because you know what? The church is going to stand forever. This is God's means. The church is God's means of accomplishing his work on this earth in our day. It's going to last forever. It's worth supporting. Support it through faithful serving. You know, everybody needs to function doing their part. Everybody, y'all have a part in the church and ministry of FBC. All right? Now, there are other churches out there all around the world, but this is the church that God has, if we look at it stewardship-wise, this is the church that God has given to you. And so, do your part to make this church bring glory to God. You see? Think about it like the family business. Remember that a few weeks ago? We talked about, think about it like the family business. If you are a stockholder in the family business, you want to do everything you can do in order to see the business be successful, right? So you're not gonna just sit back and let everybody else do it. No, you want it to be successful. And when it comes to the church, you know it's going to be successful on into eternity to the honor and glory of God. You do your part. Everybody needs to. We should never struggle to get people to fill the positions in the church. And there are needs. Consider your gifts, skills, and abilities, or availability anyway. Someone asks you, we have ministry teams. We have a worship ministry team, operations ministry team, and a discipleship outreach ministry team. And the ministry teams, it was never designed for them to do all the work. Never. They're the ones that just kind of manage it. They're the ones that make sure that things are happening and organized and coordinated. But the idea behind those ministry teams was to keep them small, 5-7 people maybe, so that it will free you up from having to come and sit in on meetings all the time and free you up to actually get out there and minister. So when someone from the ministry comes your way and you say, oh, here they come, they're going to ask me to do something, don't run the other way. Because it's not up to them to get the job done. It's up to them to get you to help do the job. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12 says, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, evangelists, some to be pastors, teachers, to train God's people to do the work of the ministry. The equipping individuals were not to get the job done. They were to see that it gets done through the training of God's people. It's up to you. The success of this ministry is up to you doing your part. And why do you do your part? Because it's of value to God. See, it takes on a whole new perspective, doesn't it? When you think about how important the church is, and as you are, as an instrument in God's hands. Here's another thing that'll last on into eternity, and that's souls. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. In fact, Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go into all the world. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to his disciples, his followers. Go and make disciples of all nations. Not just the pastors, not just the evangelists, not just the apostles and prophets. No, he was speaking to all of us. And the tense of that passage is, while you are going, while you're living your life, go and make disciples. Why? Because souls are valuable to God. Souls will last for eternity. They will either die in eternal destruction, or they will live unto eternal life. If you believe that, it's going to make a difference in how you live. You're going to actively participate in telling others about Jesus. You're going to get involved in programs and efforts that expose other people to Jesus. You're going to invite people to worship services, to studies, to life groups. We have a sportsman's banquet coming up in March 18th. You're going to say, hey, there's an opportunity for people to get exposed to Jesus. And so I'm going to buy a ticket, or I'm going to invite a friend. And I want them to come, and they're going to get a good meal that night, and they're going to hear some stories about outdoors and all of that, and then they're going to hear a speaker who's a sportsman himself, and he's going to share the gospel. You're going to support that kind of thing. You're going to get involved in that. You're going to catch the vision of our ministry as showing Christ as indispensable to our community. I just so excited about the stories I hear of more and more of you getting out there and inviting, touching lives, serving, ministering, giving back, showing Christ to our community. You got to invite people to church. I think of Wednesday night. Pastor Keith asked us to pray, and Dan shared this just a little bit ago, and many of us prayed, and God blessed, and we saw rededications, 15 rededications, 5 in the youth, and one in Ignite, 5 in Ignite and 1 in Blast, that trusted Christ as Savior. It wasn't an accident. God blessed. But it's because of the faithfulness of Pastor Keith and the leaders and you guys, the youth, who are inviting their friends to come out and to hear this. Hey, you know, great things are happening over there. And that ought to be happening in all aspects of our ministry. And then we pray. And those who prayed, and we just bathe this ministry in prayer, because it's not about us, it's all about God, because that's what's going to last for eternity. You're going to live faithfully. You're going to give faithfully. You're going to make your calling and election sure. If you value souls for eternity, you're going to look at your own soul and say, I want to stand before God and live with Him for eternity. Now, all of this that I've just talked about, and this is just, there are probably other things you can think of, but as I sat down this week, I thought, man, I really want to help everybody to make sure that when you stand before God, you're going to have something that's going to last. And all of these things, all of this is laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. That's what it's all about. And it's a lot. It's kind of a shotgun here this morning, right? Man, if you can't remember it all, remember something and start focusing in on that, because you want to stand before God, have something that's going to last for eternity. I have an illustration here. Hopefully it'll help you out just a little bit. We're going to say this is your life, okay? This represents your life. And it's empty right now.
Hello?
All right? There's nothing in it. So you want to get the right things that are in that, all right? So first thing we're going to say is that we're going to have a ball here, and this ball is going to represent your relationship with God. That's the first thing that ought to be in your life. Okay? So that fills up a good portion of that. That's your life. And then the next things that we have here are some other things that are important. All right. Now, if you're married and you have kids, that's an important part of your life. It should be. Right. You have relationships with other people. Those are important. We saw in the video at the beginning of the service, you know, when you sit down and you write an encouraging note to someone at work. That's the kind of thing that can last for eternity if you do it in Jesus' name. And then here's another important thing. We're going to say that's the church. Okay? So these are some things that, man, you look at that and you say, man, that fills up my life right there. So, but wait a minute. What about all the other things? So we're going to, these pebbles here, they're going to represent all the other things that are kind of important in life, like work, school. How about washing the car? You got to do that. Change the oil once in a while. You know, that's important. So you have these things, you know, and so all kinds of important things, but not as important as the bigger things there. But these things start filling up our lives as well. You say, wow, that's getting pretty full. My life's getting full. All right. So we have that, and it fills up our lives. But what about our hobbies? What about watching TV? You know, you got those things too. And then they start getting down in there. Okay. How about hanging out with your friends? See, that starts filling up. Get that down in there. It's getting full. Got all this stuff going on. And it fills up our lives. Think, wow. Man, our lives are full, aren't they? Man, I just don't have time to do anything else. So, it's kind of life. This is the way life is, isn't it? You know, here it is. You can relate, right? You got all this stuff going on. Of course, the idea here and part of the illustration is make sure you get the right things in your life first. You know, interestingly, what if we started with all of this stuff? You see? What if we filled the whole thing up with this first? You know, that's the video games, that's the watching TV, that's the going hunting and fishing and all that stuff. If you filled it all up with this, what would happen? No room for the most important things, right? There wouldn't be any room for God. But I got one other thing here. What about this? oh man, I don't know if it's going to fit. Really? You don't think so? Yeah, and start putting that in there too. And just kind of works its way down. You say, well, what in the world? What's that all about? Well, the idea there is, with all the other stuff going on, there's always room to offer a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Don't get so busy with all the other stuff that you're not giving attention to the opportunities that come your way in the busyness of life. Things that will last for eternity. Things that will help you when you stand before God and God says, well, give an account of what happened in your life. And you say, here it is. Things that will last. Let's ask God's help. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, I pray that you would help us to really seriously consider looking ahead. The life on this earth, just like we looked at last week in Luke chapter 16 there, the life on this earth will end, and people in this world and this around us, they're living for everything they can get in this life. But we say we want to live for eternity, but may that be a reality starting now. We need your help. And we've talked about things that will last for eternity. Help us to make those things important now. With heads bowed and eyes closed. How about you here today? I hope this helps you think in a very concrete way how Christ can make a difference for you. And all of these things are important to you. Make them important now. Maybe it may be overwhelming to you. Pick out one, two things that you can say, okay, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start reading the Word of God faithfully. I'm going to start memorizing the Word of God. I'm going to submit to God's authority. I'm going to spend time in prayer to God because He is my Lord. And if He's my Lord, I need to talk with Him. I need to pray to Him. I need to show Him that He's important to my life. I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to depend upon Him in prayer because He's my Lord. It may be the church. It may be doing things in Jesus' name, offering a cup of cold water, looking for those opportunities to those around you.